Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is hour number three as we roll along this morning. Good Thursday to you. Normally it's a throwback Thursday, but because of opening day, we're just kind of celebrating with baseball music today. Mark Leslie set to join us at 30 past the hour. WFAA-TV in Dallas. If you have not been following this stretch run in the NBA, too bad, because it's actually kind of interesting. But the Dallas Mavericks, who looked so promising kind of early with Kyrie and Luka Doncic, it was that one game where they combined for 82 points. Remember that? Well, they've really gone sideways, and not only sideways, but downward on the playoff rankings in the terms of the playoff standings. Dallas was hovering around a 5 seed, looking to make a big splash, looking to do something unique. And so they went after and got Kyrie Irving in a trade. They sacrificed two guys that really gave them some defensive help. And now they don't have those guys, Spencer Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith. And now the Mavericks are on the outside looking into the playoff picture. And they are 37-40. They are the 11th seed right now in the West. The top 10 get to go to the playoffs. Dallas is not even in the playoff, in the play-in game conversation. They are one game behind Oklahoma City to get there. They have gone 3-7 over their last 10 games. Now, people are pointing to the fact that offensively, this is still a strong basketball team. Defensively, though, they're terrible. They're really bad. And Jason Kidd is trying to figure out what works best. Because offensively, what he's finding is a couple of things. Offensively, what he's seeing is teams are double teaming Luka. They're going after Kyrie a little harder. They're just saying, you know what? We just trust everybody else isn't going to do anything. And it's getting frustrating because on the back end, Luka doesn't play good enough defense. He doesn't slide over very well. And he's not exactly in great shape. Even though he's a scoring machine, defense is not one of his strong suits. And the Mavericks are suffering for it. So they're getting good drives to the basket. They're finding layup lanes. And they're beating Dallas at their own game. Last night they lost to Philadelphia. And so they need to start winning some games. There's only about 6 games left of the season. In fact, the season's going to end a week from this weekend. So like the 8th and 9th, that's when you're going to start seeing the season wrap up. And we're going to get into the playoffs. Now, say what you will about the play-in tournament, but it's added 2 more teams to each conference. Now, that may be overkill, and I won't deny that there's something about it I'm not too happy. It's if everyone's a playoff team, nobody's a playoff team, right? It's kind of that feeling. But the reality of it is that there are 5 teams in both conferences that don't make the playoffs. Now, these are the teams, some of them like Houston and San Antonio have just been absolutely abysmal all season long and are fighting for something bigger, right? Just getting through this so that they can make something else happen, which is get a high draft pick, build from the draft, etc. Over in the Eastern Conference, Detroit, they're the youngest team in the NBA. They've been awful all season, but they've got a lot of bright young stars that can turn into something. And they've got some expiring contracts that they might be able to free up some money and start building the team. That's what you kind of want. If you're going to go 16-60 or 26-51 like Charlotte, what you want to do is you want to be in a position where you're like, yeah, the season's lost, but we got some good things to build on. And you know what? Our building time, we're still in that. You know, we're still in the couple of years that it's going to take us to get back on track. Dallas isn't supposed to be swimming in that water at all. Dallas got Kyrie Irving to solidify themselves as one of the contenders in the Western Conference. That's what makes this story so interesting, is that they went from, we are looking, and they got Kyrie before Kevin Durant was traded to Phoenix. But it was very, very close. I mean, both of these happened within a short time frame during Super Bowl week. But Kyrie Irving was acquired by Dallas because they were looking at a Western Conference that said, you know what? I think we can build something that can take down Denver. And we're going to need a stronger team against Ja Morant. We're going to need a stronger team against Phoenix and Sacramento. But we think this addition, at the sacrifice of 2 guys that make us good defensively, we're going to make it work. And initially it was pretty good. It was pretty promising. You kind of threw off losses as gelling time. And then whenever they would work together in a way that made you go, ooh, look at that pop, you started wondering, gee, when they really start to gel, this is going to work out. Maybe Kyrie is doing that thing where he plays really well for his new team. Trouble comes later, but boy, right away, he really kicks it up a notch for them. But that's not what's happened. They have not found a winning success with this trade. Now, for Luka, it's got to be frustrating because I think Luka has looked to the organization to say, you know, I'm playing on an MVP level, right? All season long, him and Joel Embiid have been fighting for the scoring mark, averaging around 33 points per game. But him and Joel Embiid have gone back and forth. Embiid is a serious MVP candidate going up against Nikola Jokic, who's looking to win his third straight. Luka Doncic is not in that conversation. But the reality of it is Luka's one of the premier scorers in the league, right? Because one, he's after the scoring title, but two, yeah, he's hard to stop. But here's the thing. Imagine going to the organization. Well, I need a little help. I want a little help. Let's see if we can get you a little help. To getting that help and now not making the playoffs, I'm trying to think of an analogy that where it's like going into the boss's office thinking you're getting a promotion to get let go. Like the Kyrie Irving trade was not a trade just to be the status quo. It was to make everything better. It was like, okay, here's the deal. Without Kyrie, we're here. We're here on this line. But Kyrie's going to prove us up here on this line, and we're going to be one of the formidable foes in the Western Conference. To have it turn around so completely, to lose those two key defensive players, to still have one of the best scorers in the NBA, and you're not one of the top 10 teams in the Western Conference right now. So Mark Leslie is going to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour to help explain what are we missing? What's going on? Is it trouble behind the curtain? Is it really just a matter of horrific defense? And what is Jason Kidd going to do about it in the next couple of games? They can get back in this. But even when they get back in this, they ain't going further than the play-in tournament. That's for sure. Even though there's a separation of a very small amount. And nah, they're not going any further than that. They're going to be in the play-in tournament if they do get in at all. And by the way, the Lakers now look like they're pretty solid to get into the postseason. Play-in tournament, but they look like they're pretty solid.
Kind of a fun little... Feels like a unique thing to say that.
You got LeBron back in the lineup. Anthony Davis had a nice night last night against the Chicago Bulls. The Lakers have won four of their last five games. Right now they're eighth, which would have given you the number one seed, but now gets you into the play-in tournament. And now the play-in tournament works, if you don't really know, if you don't remember. So 7, 8, 9, and 10 are in the play-in tournament.
Yes.
So 7 plays 10 and 8 plays 9.
Right.
But here's the rub. It's not a best of three series. If you are the 7 or the 8 seed, you only have to win one game. If you are the 8, 9, and 10 seed, you have to win two games. So that's how it works. Now, it could be a best of three series, right? Well, no, it can't, because if the other team beats you in game two, you don't play a third game.
Right.
Yeah. So you basically have to beat them twice if you're a 9 or a 10 seed. You have to beat the other team twice.
Yeah, if Dallas is able to sneak in there, say they're able to get that 10th seed, it's long road. But I just feel like their collapse is epic.
Yeah. Now, if you are an 8 seed and you beat the 9 seed, and if you are a 10 seed and you beat the 7 seed, the 10 goes to the 1, the 8 goes to the 2. But if
and now I've gone cross-eyed.
Yeah, now I've gone cross-eyed. So the 1 plays the lowest seed that's remaining out of this little mess of games. And remember, it was 2 years ago that Golden State and LeBron and the Lakers played. And it was an awesome game, but in the end, it was Phoenix and Milwaukee playing for the championship. But the Lakers are starting to play some pretty good basketball right now. So, and like we mentioned, Sacramento ended a 16-year playoff drought last night. They won. They're now in the 3 seed in the West. What's interesting about the East is there's really only 3 teams that people look and say, These are the three teams that are going to win this. That Cleveland, there's not a belief enough that Cleveland can come out of the four seed. That's Milwaukee, Boston, and Philadelphia. The Knicks are a five seed. They've been playing okay basketball of late, and Brooklyn gave away all of its stars and are just hanging on for whatever prize awaits them at the end. Miami, Atlanta, Toronto, and Chicago are all in the play-in tournament in the East. But it really comes down to Milwaukee, who got 51 points last night from Drew Holiday. And then the Celtics, who had the lead of this conference for a while, lost it. And once they lost it, they never got it back. Milwaukee just ran away with it. I think Milwaukee had a 13-game win streak at one point. Not that long ago.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. So, and then Philadelphia has been playing good basketball. They've been, you know, led by Embiid, who, by the way, is getting criticized because he didn't play in the game in Denver against Jokic, but played last night against Doncic. And people are wondering if, well, and I'm not making an excuse for Embiid, but I know he's been in and out of the Sixer lineup. He's been nursing a calf injury.
Yeah.
So he might have, just being on the road in Denver, he might have gone, nah.
Maybe it was the altitude.
Maybe it was the altitude. But I know that people are like, well, in the MVP battle, one sat and the other one played.
Right.
Yeah, well, we doing that, really? Like, there's a lot to like about Jokic. I mean, Jokic had a triple-double in that game, and it's all he does is get triple-doubles. He's a fantastic. I mean, but Embiid has had one of those years where he's leading the NBA in scoring.
And I almost feel like it's unfair to keep giving it to Jokic just because there's not much around the team. But, I mean, that's, I guess, the term MVP, right?
Right, right. But you know what? Voters do consider, like, are they really going to make this a three-time MVP award winner? Like, he's awesome and he deserves it, but I don't know.
It'll be three straight.
Yeah, it'll be three straight. I don't think he can. We'll continue on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is Wake Up Call on Sportsmap Radio. I'm going to ask this question on the air with you. I should have asked you during the break. So we did Who's On First a year ago.
That's right.
Are we going to try to do it in this hour? You want to do it after Mike?
To close out the show?
You want to try it? Yeah. This is kind of an off-the-cuff thing.
It's iconic.
It's iconic. We'll try to recreate the Abbott and Costello bit from last year.
From memory?
Last year, we prepared. We had printed out the sheets.
Prepared. I mean, it's one of those things that you've heard 1,000 times, so you kind of know the gist of it.
Right. Right. So, let's try to attempt that at the final segment of the show.
And if it's terrible, I won't post it. I'll post last year's.
That's right. We'll post last year's. Yes, we are off tomorrow, and then we're actually doing a really cool thing.
Yeah, we're not technically off.
We're off at this time slot. We're going to be doing a really cool show on the network starting, what, 7 Eastern time?
Yeah.
We're going to be on location, and we're going to have a bunch of guests to celebrate the Final Four, so it's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that on Friday night.
I know.
So we're getting – this is like when
– do you feel like it's a step up for us? I mean, they're finally, you know
– you know what?
Taking us out of the studio and throwing us someplace else?
Here's the only way I can describe it. It's like when The Price is Right has a primetime show.
Yes.
That's what I mean.
That's us.
Like, so, normally you watch this at home during the day, but now we're putting it on primetime.
Does that mean we have to give away bigger, expensive prizes?
That's right. Yeah,
I don't know about that.
Exactly. So what were you telling me? The next year's NCAA Final Four is going to be on TBS?
It's on TBS.
Is this why Jim Nance ain't doing it?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, he might be too good for the old TBS.
I'm not doing TBS.
Can't be on the same level as, although he's been doing commercials with Charles Barkley, but he can't be on the same level as Charles Barkley.
By the way, I just got a vote for Who's On First by Philip, who wants to hear it. So we are going to do it. But you can't hold us. We didn't prepare for that. We're going to do our awesome best.
It'll be fine.
It's our celebration of baseball.
Yeah.
It's an old-time Abbott and Costello bit. By the way, last year when we did it, I was telling my sister. I said, "Oh, guess what?" I said, "My co-host and I, we did Who's On First," and she goes, oh, she goes, you must have been Abbott. And I went, no, Costello, the fat one.
Right.
She, whatever which one he is, she guessed right. I was like,
I think that's Costello. I think Lou Costello.
Yeah. She's like, oh, you must have been him. I'm like, we weren't doing it on video.
No, and we weren't doing it based on that.
I didn't dress up.
You have a better angry voice than I do.
We didn't dress up in the dumpy baseball outfits that they were in when they did theirs. Like we did the radio version. So yeah, never mind. So Philip says, "Who's on first? The greatest bit ever." Yeah, we'll try it again. Also, Philip, the last few years, the A's reminded me of the spring training scene from the first major league movie. Just a clinical disaster. They haven't won, and they just have the miracle ending the movie had, though. Yeah, that's the A's.
Yeah,
that's the A's. That's we were talking about that when the A's go to Las Vegas. Are they going to have to change their operational procedure? Are they going to have to say to Vegas, you know what? You may know us as the team that pops up with a bunch of young stars that we give away for pennies on the dollar, but we can't do that anymore here in Sin City. We're now changing our method, infusion of cash. Right?
You see it all the time. I remember the one that always sticks out most of me was the Padres. Because the Padres put together a championship-winning team, went to the World Series, what was that, 98?
98, yeah.
And, I mean, had all the stars. And pretty much did that in order to get the funding necessary, to get the city all fever pitched on the Padres to build Petco Park.
Right.
And then, you know, they got it approved. Petco Park, you know, they put shovels into the ground. What, Petco Park was finished in 2004, 2005 time frame, maybe 06. And they had a good team when they went in there. But then that was the famous, we're selling Adrian Gonzalez off.
Oh,
we're
doing that's this. Right. We're doing, yeah.
Shipping them all out and just became this doormat of a team. They've since been bought by new owners, which is fantastic because this guy's actually putting money
Boy,
into the
is
team.
He ever.
And that's why it still freaks us out. Like when Steve Cohen bought the Mets and he started spending his millions of dollars, we kind of said, you know, okay, it's the Mets. They're in a large market. I mean, that's what they do. When the Padres gave that first contract, I think it was to Machado.
Machado.
And then, it was like 300 some odd million. We all sat back and went,
wait,
the Padres do this?
Are they printing money over there? What are they doing?
The Padres have never done this.
Yeah, they gave Fernando Tatis got a deal.
They
traded for Juan Soto. They now have Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah.
God, Lee, what are you?
Blake Snell. Yeah,
Blake
Snell. I mean, they have a really good team. A team that,
World
you know,
Series Tampa Bay Rays Blake Snell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, who should have kept pitching.
But yeah, you're right. I mean,
they went out and spent money, and it's the one team the Dodgers do have troubles with now.
So how come Moreno doesn't do this with the Angels? Is he trying?
No, he did. He has.
But he hasn't been able.
He doesn't get the right players.
Doesn't get the right. Like Noah Syndergaard is not getting it done. No.
You know, I mean, he.
That's post injury Noah Syndergaard.
He got Trout. He won the rights for Ohtani. Great moves. Brought Rendon over the year after they won the World Series.
Had Albert Pujols. Nothing.
I know. But, you know, when you brought Rendon over, I mean, he had a great time with the Nationals, won the World Series, but, you know, was kind of aging. He didn't really have that pop. But the thing they've been lacking the most isn't what they have on offense. It's the pitching.
Well, people say, like, well, is Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani being wasted out there? Because people don't see him because they stink.
Yeah.
Like they'd be on more nationally televised games if they were good.
You know, and Ohtani might push the envelope on that.
Right. I think they're starting
to
figure out.
You might see Sunday Night Baseball a lot more.
It really was more of a Trout question. Once Ohtani was on the team, I think their exposure has gone up, despite them not making the playoffs. Shohei Ohtani is on my TV a lot. I see him a lot. I see him enough. I mean, he's not lacking for coverage. But with Trout, it was a situation where the Angels weren't good. Trout was on the team. But when they, you know, look, you'd put them on national TV if they were competitive and they were a division-leading team. Like, that's not an issue.
You're not going to put them on TV today.
Right.
I mean, even though Ohtani is starting.
Yeah, right.
You know, they're playing the A's.
Yeah, so. No.
You know, the A's, I'm sorry, the A's aren't going to draw anything. Besides, I don't think there's television reception in Oakland anymore.
Well, yeah.
It's just, you know, a rumor I heard.
Goodness.
So if the A's move to Vegas, maybe there'll be a better, I won't say better run organization, because what Billy Beane has done with what he's had is pretty awesome. I mean, they do pop up every couple of years.
It'll be a situation where they move to Vegas. I don't know if there's a stadium for them to build, because I guess Allegiant Field?
Allegiant Field, yeah.
Was not built to suit a baseball
game. No. Do you think the Raiders are going to do that again? That
just
old
funny.
Oakland Alameda County Stadium.
We
dump.
Shared a stadium for way no, too
no,
long.
No, we didn't move here to go back to those glory days. Oh, no, we're not. We're not playing on infield.
There were at least four games you made us play on dirt every
goodness
season.
Goodness gracious. Like watching those highlights of Bo Jackson running on infield dirt.
Remember
that? Every
tackled.
Time they played, it was unbelievable.
Every time they got tackled, you see the arm just shredded. It was like,
terrible.
Oh, God, that's got to hurt.
Unbelievable. Terrible. But opening day today brings new hope.
Yes.
That's what it does. It brings new hope. So I don't know. But no, I you know what? Like I said earlier, I think the opening day, the questions that you're having about some of these teams is, well, the one overriding question is, okay, we've seen it in spring training. How will these new rules really impact what we're going to be seeing in the game? The second thing is I really love the AL East. I just really think that's such a loaded division that is going to be a blast. But I also think there's some teams on the rise that are coming up. But in the end, I think it's still the Astros. And in the end, I think it's Atlanta and the Dodgers and the Mets.
Yeah.
You know, I still think it's, you know.
And then, you know, and you look around the other divisions, even though they keep popping their heads up every once in a while, I still say it's going to be the Cardinals.
Yeah, I like the Cardinals.
Yeah, you know, the Cardinals year after year just seem like they just, you know, it's almost like, I feel like the NL Central is the forgotten division.
I know. And, like, think about how Cleveland came up on the division last year.
Yeah.
And they were like, this is surprising. I'm like, well, who else was coming out of the division? Chicago White Sox? Like, what? Detroit's lousy. The Kansas City's lousy.
Oh, they have a team?
Yeah. Who did you think was coming out of there? What, did you think they were going to be abysmal? I mean, Terry Francona knows what he's doing. They got some good talent.
He just took his time.
Yeah. But what's going on with the Dallas Mavericks? Why do they stink? Well, we're going to talk to Mark Leslie, WFAA-TV, about what happened when the moment Kyrie Irving arrived to where we are now, where they're not even in the playoff picture. They can still get in it. Not saying it's over. Just saying right now, it does not look good. We'll have that. Plus, we will attempt to recreate our bit from last year. Who's on first in honor of baseball season? All coming up this next half hour on Wake Up Call.
Tessie is the royal Rudy's rally cry. Tessie is the tune they always sung. Tessie echoed April through October night. After serenade installed in Aiden Yard.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony.
Again, celebrating opening day today in baseball, but we got Final Four coming up here in Houston on Saturday. National Championships Monday. NBA, though, rolling in to its final week of the regular season before the playoffs and the seeding begin. And the Dallas Mavericks, who started middle of the pack, got Kyrie Irving, are now on the outside looking in. They're 11th in a 10-team race in the postseason. Mike Leslie joins us from WFAA-TV in Dallas on what is happening on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. How are you, Mike?
Good, thanks. How you guys doing?
Good. So take us back to the trade. Take us back to where were the Dallas Mavericks here's a sea of Western Conference teams. Some had strengths and weaknesses, but where were they amongst the teams that were starting to identify themselves as contenders in that conference?
I mean, I don't think when the trade was made that they were a realistic contender to win the West, but they were certainly in a better place than they are right now. Things have gone pretty sideways on them since the trade. The thing that's interesting is I think a lot of casual Mavs fans and I think maybe some of the national audience as well has looked at those two realities, where they were when the trade was made, where they are now, and kind of reflexively went, well, that's what happens when you trade for Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
And I just think it's an oversimplification, because if you actually look at what he's done and the impact he's made on the team, on the court and off, he really hasn't been the problem. The issues that they're having were present before the trade was made and just have continued to crop up even more so since the trade. And they're struggling in every way imaginable right now.
The big criticism of the trade was, look, defensively, this is going to be a step backwards, right? Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie are strong defensively. That seemed to have been projected even as the deal was being made. What were the Mavericks saying about what something that people were saying, we don't need to see it on the court, we know this is going to happen, before the trade was really finalized? What was their thought process in addressing that deficiency?
I mean, Jason Kidd said it plainly one day after maybe the third or fourth game when Kyrie was here. Well, we're just going to have to go out and outscore teams. he kind of just shrugged off the idea of defense altogether and said, we're just going to have to go out there and outscore teams. And on a lot of levels, he's not wrong. The way that this team is now presently constituted, that's going to have to be the way that they win games if they can. They haven't been doing much of that lately, because they don't have anybody that can play defense. Trading away the guys that they did, especially Dorian Finney-Smith, was a huge detriment to their defense, and they can't rebound, but at all. They have to outscore teams, and they haven't done that enough.
So how would you describe Kyrie as an addition to the Mavericks? How has his two months been with the team? How would you describe it?
I mean, to me, the biggest deficiency there has just been injury. He's been out of the lineup more than certainly the Mavs would have preferred since he's been here. When he's been on the court, I think he's been very effective. He made a bunch of plays last night early on in that fourth quarter to keep them in the lead. Then later in the fourth quarter, setting up teammates, he was doing most of the scoring the first 4 or 5 minutes of the fourth quarter and was keeping Dallas out in front of Philadelphia at that point. Later in the game, Luka came in. He was doing more of the scoring, and really more than anything, Luka and Kyrie were setting guys up for open looks on the outside, and nothing was falling.
Yeah.
It was not a good night for Reggie Bullock. He had a really rough shooting night last night. Tim Hardaway Jr. was good earlier in the game, but struggled late. Kind of everybody basically struggled late, and they could not make but anything. And it was really a shame, because you were watching time in and time out down the floor Luka and Kyrie create opportunities, and it was clank after clank after clank after clank, and there went the lead, and there went, at some point, even their ability to get back in the game.
How has Luka, his demeanor has changed, he's getting kind of vague with some answers, but overall, I get it. I get it when you feel like you're maybe five in the standings, and then you're out, you're going to get frustrated. Is there an extra level to this frustration that people are reading into?
Honestly, when I heard his post-game comment the other day about how he's more frustrated than he's ever been, and the reporters in the room tried to dig a little bit deeper about, what does that mean? And he just kind of said it's private. I think a lot of people went to, well, does that mean that he's not happy playing with Kyrie? Honestly, the first place that my head went when I heard him say that, and let me be clear before I say this,
sure,
I don't know that this is the case, but the first place my head went when I heard him make that comment was the issue that's been going on back and forth with his mom and all of the issues with his own branding and trying to sort all that has kind of just percolated in the background all through this season. And I don't know. Again, I'm not certain that that's the case. That was the first thought that I had when I heard him say that, was that maybe that was what he was alluding to, that something that was off the court and personal and private that he didn't want to get into, that is distracting him from what he'd rather be focusing on.
You've got these two scorers. You've got the defense that's deficient on defense. You brought it up about some other guys not having good nights. How has the other players on this team, to use a term loosely here, let them down, if you will, just to be there's, if you've got a defense that's focusing on these two guys, you need some other people to chip in. Has anybody been able to help out?
Well, and see, this is like, if you look at just look at last night's box score, for example, Tim Hardaway Jr., you look at the entirety of the game, had a nice game, shot 5 of 10 from 3-point range. A lot of guys on the roster had decent nights when you look at the full 48 minutes. What has been an issue for this team, not just with their auxiliary guys, but also with Luka and Kyrie, clutch time three-point shooting has been terrible for this team all season long. They have gotten into the late portions of games, and this is a team that has played now, I believe, 51 games that would be defined by the NBA as clutch games, games that came down to the final 5 minutes, 5 points or closer. And they've lost a preponderance of them because they can't hit big shots in big moments. They've been in a bunch of games against a bunch of really good teams, and if they could have won five more of those games, they're probably the sixth seed still. But they just can't seem to hit big shots in big moments. And that's not just the auxiliary guys. That is also Luka and Kyrie.
Where does this team go from here? Where like, can they Band-Aid this thing up to get in? But even if they do, what's the future of this pairing in Dallas? Are they really hoping they can keep Kyrie on after this season?
I think the dollars and cents of it all is still leading me to believe that they have at least a decent chance of keeping Kyrie around, because they can just offer him a significant amount of money more than anybody else will be able to offer him. As for the immediacy of it, and you know, can they band-aid it together and get into the playoffs? At this point, it's looking mathematically tough. It's not impossible, but they are very quickly running out of time here. Is it possible? Sure. Listen, the West is wide open. The West is a cluster of a bunch of mediocre teams. If we're really being honest here, there are a couple of teams up at the top, but even as good as the Kings look, I don't know. Do you trust this young team to go on a deep playoff run? I think they're certainly capable. They've shown all year their capabilities, but put this young group that's never been in this environment into a playoff setting, I don't know what that looks like if they're up against, just for the sake of argument, possibly a 7-seed Golden State Warriors team, or, you know, however the play-in shakes out. Do I think that Dallas is good enough to find themselves in that scenario as the 7-seed against Sacramento and take advantage of that? No, I don't. I think even if that were the case and they're playing a team that doesn't have that much playoff experience, they still get beat because they can't stop anybody. They can't rebound. They kind of just have to say, hey, Luka and Kyrie, go both of you score 40 and maybe we'll win. That's their only pathway. Now, those two players are both good enough to do that maybe three times in a series, and is it impossible for them to steal a series? No. They need every single possible thing to go right. Their margin for error is razor thin.
I got a minute, but I did want to ask you this. In a city where Jerry Jones can eat the media and get all the attention, how does Mark Cuban deal with the media? How vocal is he? Is he available after games? He's a big personality even outside the NBA. Is he like Jerry Jones? Is he looking for a microphone to talk about this team all the time?
He's not like Jerry is. Like with Jerry, I imagine you know just based on how you ask the question.
Yeah.
He talks every single game.
All the time.
Every single game, he is there in the hallway right outside the locker room talking to the media, holding court for sometimes 15, 20 minutes. Cuban does not go to that level. Now, he sometimes will make himself available. He's obviously very communicative via email. You send him an email, he'll get back to you, generally speaking, very quickly. He's definitely helpful and communicative, but to the level of Jerry Jones, no. Jerry's in a category by himself.
Mike, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us this morning and help us sort out what's going on with the Mavericks. Appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Leslie, WFAA-TV in Dallas on the Mavericks, who have slid some more on their way down the Western Conference standings.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, our thanks to Mike Leslie in Dallas on the Mavericks. We're celebrating opening day today. So not a traditional throwback Thursday, just the normal, it's the opening day. Let's celebrate a little baseball.
Yeah.
We got Final Four again coming up this weekend, but today, you know, baseball stadiums around the country will be opening up. So a year ago, Ron and I celebrated opening day with our own personal rendition of Who's On First, the classic Abbott and Costello bit. And I thought it went pretty well last year.
I thought it did, too.
I thought it went well. So then I said, you want to try it again to make it sort of a yearly thing.
Were there, was it, can we say rave reviews?
Yeah, we actually got some people saying, hey.
Like, you know, three, four people?
Yeah, three or four people said they liked
it. I'm not sure what our Rotten Tomato score was.
The people in our lives that love us dearly said it was awesome.
Yeah, but it was great, Ron.
It was great. You and Ron are great. You did that great. Yeah, we heard it. So I said, let's try it again. But because we did this at the last minute. We scrambled getting a script, but I'm sounding like I'm making excuses for what may be a radio train wreck. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be.
And you know what? If it is a radio train wreck, then I mean that makes it even better.
What? Yeah, it's a day that ends in Y on this
and
show.
If it's really bad. You know, if we have to cut way through, I have our version from last year.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
queued up and ready to
if,
go.
If we should fall apart, we'll just replay the one
if
from
all
last
of a sudden,
year.
I'm like, oh, what page are you on?
Yeah, that somehow we did this. All right, so here we go. Are we getting ready? Do we have any a little intro music? Or are we going to jump right in? Sports Map Theater proudly presents Who's On First, a rendition by Abbott and Costello, played by Ron Culver and Tony D.
Well, Costello, I'm going to New York with you. You know, Bookie Harris, the Yankees manager, gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Look, Abbott, if you're the coach, you must know all the players.
I certainly do.
Well, you know, I've never met the guys, so you'll have to tell me their names, and then you'll know who's playing on the team. You mean funny names?
Strange names? Pet names? Like Dizzy Dean?
His brother Daffy.
Daffy Dean?
And their French cousin.
French?
Gouffet.
Gouffet? Dean, well, let's see. We have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
And you're going to be the coach, too?
Yes.
Then you don't know the fella's names.
Well, I should.
Then who is on first?
Yes.
I mean the fella's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing.
Who's on first?
I'm asking you who's on
first.
That's
the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Look, you got a first baseman?
Certainly.
Who's playing first?
That's right.
When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar.
All I'm trying to find out is the fella's name on first base.
Who?
The guy that gets...
That's it.
That who gets the money?
He does. Every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects
it. Whose wife?
Yes.
Ugh.
What's wrong with that?
Look, all I want to know is when you sign up to the first baseman, how does he sign his name?
Who?
The guy.
Who?
How does he sign?
That's how he signs
who?
It.
Who?
Yes.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base.
No, what's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time.
Who's on first? I'll edit that part out. That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
Who's on first?
Don't change the players around.
I'm not changing nobody.
Take it easy, buddy.
I'm only asking you who's the guy on first base.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
What's the guy's name on first base?
No. What's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. We're not talking about
now,
him.
Now, how did I get on third base?
You happen to mention the man's name.
If I mentioned the third baseman's name, who did I say was playing third?
No, who's playing first?
What's on base?
What's on second?
I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go. Back on third again. Would you just say on the third base if it don't go fall? Who would you say is on third base and don't go off of it?
All right. What do you want to know?
Now, who's playing third base?
Why do you insist on putting who on third base?
What am I putting on third?
No, what is on second?
You don't want who on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
Look, you got an outfield?
Sure.
The left fielder's name.
Why?
I just thought I'd ask you.
I just thought I'd tell
you.
Well,
let me know who's playing left field.
Who's playing first?
I'm not. Stay in the infield. I want to know what's the guy's name in left field.
No, what is on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know. Third base. The left fielder's name.
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's in center field.
Ugh. Look, you got a pitcher on this team?
Sure.
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you now.
Then go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow are you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen, who is not
I'll
pitching?
I'll break your arm, you say who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
Got a catcher?
Certainly.
The catcher's name?
Today.
Today and tomorrow is pitching.
Now you've got it.
Oh, I got a couple of days on this team. All right. You know I'm the catcher.
So they tell me.
I get behind the plate and I do some fancy catching. Tomorrow is pitching on my team and a heavy hitter gets up. Now the heavy hitter bunts the ball. When he bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I'm going to throw the ball at guy out at first base. So I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
That's the first thing you said right.
There you go. And there you have it. Who's on first already? Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. We did pretty good.
Yeah, a little seven. You know what happened was this mouse is terrible. I'm going to blame it on the mouse.
All right, right. Just
I'm not blaming I'm not blaming Disney. I'm blaming the mouse. Because sometimes when you scroll with this mouse, it likes to pop up and go up and down.
Okay.
And it happened right at that point where it's like a lot of us really rapid fire. Like, who?
You got to scroll.
And you said something. I'm like, I don't even see where he said.
Yeah.
Like, we're about to do our own who's on first. Because like, I'm trying to find it.
I do remember last year printing this out when I was doing it last time.
Yeah, we did it old school last year.
We did it old, like real scripts
real
in our
paper.
Hands.
We even smelt the paper because it came off the copier.
Next year, we might actually dress up in costumes and put it on YouTube.
We might have to.
Well, that is such... What a smart bit that was.
Smart. And, you know, there have been copycats or recreations of it, which I never mind.
No.
Like, if you actually take the time to kind of figure that out, that's pretty impressive. But this thing, I mean, it'll stand the test of time.
It really is. It's imagine just sitting there writing that and, like, you have to come up with snappy dialogue that flows through and finally – it just gets to the end.
Last year, I think we had a different version because I do remember the part where it's like naturally.
Oh, I think I might have cut that one off. See, that's the problem. Yeah. I think I might have accidentally not caused that.
Yeah, so where it's like naturally. And then, because then it takes on a different turn. So, Abbott, or
how long do I got here? I'll finish it out. But I know you don't have the script, but I'll finish it out, okay? So where did I leave off? So I pick up the ball and throw it to who? Now that's the first thing you said right. I don't even know what I'm talking about. That's all you have to do is to throw the ball to first base. Yes. And who's got it?
Naturally.
Look, if I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it. Who? Now, who has it?
Naturally.
Who? Naturally. Naturally? Naturally.
I'm going to see if I can do it from memory.
Yeah. So I pick up the ball and throw it to naturally.
You do nothing of the kind. You pick the ball up and you throw it to who?
Naturally.
Right.
Now, what did I say? I throw the ball to naturally.
No, you throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Correct.
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, you didn't. No,
I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Now you ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally. All right. I throw the ball to who? Whoever it is drops the ball and the guy runs to second. Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it to? I don't know. I don't know. Throws it back to tomorrow. Triple play. Another guy gets up, hits a long fly ball to because. Why? I don't know. He's on third, and I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
Ah. And womp, 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 womp. There you go. So, sorry.
That's amazing. I did that last part there. I did that from memory.
That's great.
I don't know. It's one of two things. One, that it is a Timeless Classic that's ingrained in your brain. It's ingrained in all of our brains. We know how the thing goes. Or two, I have no life, and I've heard it many, many times.
It really is. That's going on. 80 years old, right?
Yeah.
40s?
Easily.
80 years old? And it's still great. It's still great. It's that it's the timing, it's the wordplay, it hits. I can only imagine the first time people saw it. Like the just out roaring laughter that must have came.
Confused at first.
But then realizing like, the genius
trying to
behind
figure out,
this.
Like what's going on. Yeah. I can't even imagine writing it.
I can't imagine them two sitting in a room writing this down.
Like, how do we do this? You know, who's on? And, you know, they probably came up with who's on first, like the name that. It's like we can play off of that.
And then they went like, look, the timing has to be off. If we pause at any moment. Well, this is only funny if you are hitting. If we're hitting each other in perfect rhythm, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant stuff. But again, opening day today, games are going on and will start in just a couple minutes on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Yankees, let's see, the Red Sox are playing. I'm trying to think of somebody else that's playing.
The other ones, there was another early game.
Yeah, it was one other early game.
Yankees, Giants, and,
Red Sox, Orioles, and Atlanta, Washington.
Cubs are going to be playing earlier today.
Cubs later today, Tampa Bay later this afternoon. All right. Tomorrow night, again, we'll be doing our Final Four show from 7 p.m. Eastern time. Enjoy the day today.